Okay, welcome to Tunnel Talk.
Let's roll it back.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are you guys doing this week?
Oh, you know, you love February.
I thought you were going to say your catchphrase, Leah. Say your catchphrase.
I got in trouble for saying it earlier.
No, say it. I want you to say it.
You didn't just get in ducky.
Just aww, ducky. Just nice. Ducky.
It's yeah. Honestly, it's like 60 degrees here and the sun came out, so I actually am pretty ducky. I'm like, it's light past 6 o'clock. Like, I'm in spring.
I can't wait till that comes a little bit more northward.
Mm-hmm.
We've been up in the 40s, but it's supposed to go back down to the, you know, like slightly sub-zero. Not sub-zero, sub-32. It's freezing. It's going to be freezing again. I don't know. I'm not thriving this winter, but I also have been subjecting everybody to a lot of talk about it. So I am going to focus on the positives tonight. And one big positive, I think, will just be a quick little check-in with Leah about where she's at with her Supernatural watch. Supernatural. I wish they had a little theme. Supernatural watch.
And yeah, you know what? Anne did very helpfully put a bullet in our notes that said reported. So I actually have looked it up beforehand. And listeners don't know because we cut it, but usually there's a 3 to 4 minute long pause.
So I have to look it up.
But I am, in fact, in the middle of season 12, episode 11, which listeners will know is a slower pace than I've previously been at. So that's progress.
That is progress. Of course, that's because the three of us watched like a lot of television together this weekend.
And I think also, aren't you just kind of like afraid for it to be over? Like, is it maybe not just as troubling for you to slow your pace at this point because you're savoring every last sip of Supernatural?
How many seasons are there? Are there 15 seasons?
I think Plex told me that there's something like 76 episodes left, and that scared me.
Did Supernatural so get 22 episode seasons all the way to the end?
Yeah, sure did.
That is so fucking sick. When you think of the great TV shows that either didn't even get, never got a perfect 22 episode season, or started with them and got bargained down to like 8 by the last season. Mm-hmm. The fact that Supernatural, they were like, no, we'd love to continue shoveling money into this. That'll be our pleasure.
And not only that, but they're like, listen, we've done a couple years without you. We need you to come back. Just come back.
And you downloaded all these episodes. That's like so many terabytes of...
Well, and I'll tell you that I kind of Dread Pirate Roberts did it for a while where I downloaded the first season and I was like, but this is, it's just a joke that I'm doing. And then every time I would download a new season, I was like, but I'll probably stop after this. And then it wasn't until I got to season 10 that I was like, I'm just going to download up to 15.
Once you're season 10, you've made a commitment. That's who you are.
I bet you managed to download those as like, it's like probably like 7 gigabytes a season, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
They're probably small files. I bet they're 250 megabytes a file.
I wasn't budgeting because I was sort of like, it'll take what it takes.
Hey, guys, we just wanted like, to let you all know that we love pirating media.
We're just like ballparking. Like, you're not doing like the high res ones. Like,
no.
It's not 20 episodes.
For Supernatural,
I'm doing 1080 because I'm not an animal.
Well, of course. Yeah. But,
it looks like each season might be 30 gigs.
Oh, okay, wow.
Leah,
so
that's
crazy.
That's actually crazy. I would never have downloaded a 30 gigabyte season of Supernatural. I wouldn't have gone above 10.
So that's 300.
Okay,
Oh, my God.
If I'm in it, I might as well be in it. Like, Leah, I don't understand what you guys are doing here. If I'm going to McDonald's, I'm going to order off the menu. I'm not going to go to McDonald's and be like, can I have a salad?
No. This is not...
This is like going to Goodwill and buying the whole Goodwill. Like, where are you going to put all that content? You know, like, it's too big.
It doesn't fit. I mean, like, it's like you just really want to see like the precise shadows on Jensen Ackles' beautiful face.
Do you think that it's a better show if it's blurry?
Maybe. I think it would be good not to see some stuff too clearly. What
Jared
are you going to talk about when you finish watching Supernatural? My God.
I know.
I don't know. my friend Tracy started making me a list of things that she would prefer that I watch after Supernatural.
What's on it? Anything we would like? Anything we'd approve of?
Well, I can't. You guys can't get into it because we already have a list of that we're watching with the three of us. Yeah, so these are my emotional support shows. But
well, I just want to know if I think they're going to be good for your mind.
Okay, yeah. Let us vet them. Let us judge what they're going to do to you. Yeah. Just give us a little example.
She doesn't want to tell us. That's what's making me nervous.
I know.
I'll consult after.
Okay. Well, that really troubles me, but I guess we have no choice but to press on. And do you have any exciting news from your week that you'd like to share?
No, not really.
It's okay if you don't. I just wanted to give us a chance to palate cleanse from...
palate cleanse. No animals invaded my home, so I have no good stories.
Well, that's so unfortunate. I wish you'd gotten another bat or a little flying squirrel or something.
Flying squirrel.
Yeah. A raccoon. My parents got a little flying squirrel in their house. And
it's wild.
It was a while ago, but yeah.
My bed does abet the chimney. Like, the chimney's behind it. And I did hear, like, little fluttering noises the other day, and I was like, oh, no. But nothing came in.
You know, when I was in grad school, I house sat for one of my professors for, like, 3 months because her husband was on sabbatical in the UK, and so she went with him on sabbatical, and she had three cats, so I stayed at their house. And the day they left, I got this message from her being like, okay, everything's all good at the house, but just to let you know, a squirrel got stuck in the chimney, and the pest control people are going to come get the squirrel, but they can't come get it for like 2 days. So we just, like, I guess it got into the house, and then they like managed to like block it back into the chimney. so she was like, so there's just a squirrel in there, so don't worry about that. And I was like, I'm a little worried. Like, and I'm going to have to let the pest guy in. And like, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of moving parts. And so the pest guy didn't come for 2 days, and the squirrel was just in there scrabbling.
Oh my god. For two days. Oh my god. That's not okay. Like, so you're so just like haunted. living in fear for 2 days?
Yeah, I didn't like it. It's not what I preferred for sure.
Wow.
Anyway. So that's in case you guys were just like thinking like, oh, if only we could get some more animal stories out of these girls. We'll probably be able to shake up a couple more if we try. On a slightly more serious note, we did want to do a little check-in at the front of this episode. So as everybody knows, because it's impossible not to know, there's been a lot of news coming out and stuff going on surrounding like the WWE and Vince McMahon sex trafficking allegations. We haven't talked about those on our podcast, and we're going to continue to not talk about them because we don't, that's not what our podcast is about. Like, we don't go there. We talk about AEW. We obviously, if at some point those like allegations touch people who are at AEW, like, we would be forced to discuss it, and we wouldn't enjoy it because it sucks. As a woman, it fucking sucks to think about it.
Yeah. It wouldn't be my favorite thing that we'd do, but
it hasn't been like a super fun couple of weeks in the wrestling community to be trying to engage with.
Even just being on the periphery, just like being nearby, it's been kind of soul killing. So
yeah, I mean, I like read a big chunk of the lawsuit until I felt too nauseated and I had to stop. So that was fun, and I've been feeling pretty gross about it all.
It's a fucking bummer, guy. It's like, anyway, but so again, we're going to continue to not really talk about that unless it ends up impacting our space more directly. But we were really happy to see other podcasters on the Social Suplex Network covering it in ways that we really appreciated and that felt like, you know, real and honest and respectful. So we just wanted to call out a couple of those episodes. So Imps WWE Adventure had an episode that we thought dealt with it really well. Rich did a solo One Nation Radio episode where he talked about it in a way that I think that we all really appreciated. And also Trish and Sarah's wrestling podcast, their most recent episode. I know that as women in the wrestling space, it felt really fucking good to hear women say things that you don't get to hear women say very much because there's not that many women in the wrestling space. So we just wanted to talk about this a little and thank our fellow podcasters.
Yeah. I mean, I think a big part of how disheartening the whole thing has been has just been like, oh, wow, what the wrestling media is overwhelming. Like, there's just almost no women in it. And it's so depressing, especially when so many men talking about it just are completely unequipped to talk about it in any kind of informed way. I don't know.
Unequipped. And I mean, Trish and Sarah got into this a lot, but
they did.
Just a lot of men out there being like, so wacky and crazy, wild allegations. And it's like, oh, actually extremely like gutting, horrific content that like is hitting a lot of women where they live in the world. So
You know, it was sort of wacky. I kept feeling like I wish men were taking this more personally, because like as a woman reading it, you're like, it feels very personal and you're thinking of like every fucked up thing that's ever happened to like you and everyone you know. And men just didn't seem to be. But I did really appreciate like Imps WWE Adventure. Like, he did a great job of just really dealing with it like with a good tone. And I think even at the end, he like said something that made it clear he was like imagining being Janelle Grant, not imagining being like her dad or her brother or some male owner of hers, which I really appreciated. I just thought he really, I think, treated it seriously and, you know, just sort of with the kind of emotions that I would hope that as a human you would have around it. So I really appreciated that episode from him.
Yeah. And I can't imagine how Rich did a solo episode.
Rich,
about
I don't know how
Sonya.
You're doing solo episodes ever at all. Like the three of us are just like, if there aren't three of us, we're broken. Yeah. But so
Imps was solo too. I don't know how do you just get on there and talk?
I genuinely don't know. I can't imagine how you get on the mic and talk about something so serious and so, I don't know, delicate by yourself without someone to work through. But Rich did a great job. He was very clearly thoughtful and considerate, and I really appreciated the way he was talking about it. But of course, Trish and Sarah fucking nailed the shit.
Yeah, that
of
just
it.
Came out this week.
Just came out, and I'm lucky enough to be their producer. And there's a specific run that they both go on in the middle that I like teared up on. The
I know,
podcast.
I was just walking in the park crying to myself.
So
I teared up like multiple times in this episode. It was interesting.
Yeah. So it was like a really good, you know, I mean, it's a horrible time to be a wrestling fan. It's really miserable to be a wrestling fan, but it's a really good time to be a part of the Social Suplex Network, because it was like one of those moments where I was looking around and I was like, my larger community sucks ass, but my, you know, closer community kind of rules.
And Trish and Sarah, they did such an amazing job. I think what I really appreciate was how much they went into like just how it's like obviously like Vince is a person who should die in prison and go to hell. But like it's such a wider issue than that. I feel like the larger community, like it's often been like people are like either it's just Vince or people who are better are like it's also Triple H. It's also the higher ups. But Trish and Sarah did a really good job of being like Vince is so influential in wrestling for the last at least 50 years that like this is all trickled out into how everyone presents people, how everything has been done, like who's been successful in wrestling. And then the media being such a boys club too, that enables it. It was just like so satisfying. Cause when I was reading that lawsuit, like actually what was most shocking was what a vile backstage environment it was like giving me, like how many people were just kind of like Vince was showing pornographic pictures of this woman against her will and stuff too. And it was just like, wow, it's cool that he would just walk up to like 12 tech guys and like think it was fine to do this, you know? And and it was really upsetting.
Give you some insight into the degree to which some wrestlers don't seem to understand how a workplace should operate. I guess it gives you a little insight there. It's like, it's a really a lot of stuff has been super fucked up for a long time across the board, in part because mm-hmm. you have like certain people at the head, like setting the tone, and it trickles down. As you guys know, I rewatched my comfort movie Spotlight this week. And as they say repeatedly in Spotlight, we have to nail the system. We have to show that the system has a problem. And it does. So I think that's all we just really wanted to shout out, you know, the people who've been doing a good job of talking about it, which is shockingly rare in the wider wrestling community. And again, we will continue to probably not really talk about it, not because we don't care, but sucks to talk about. It fucking sucks. Yeah. So,
but if you want to say anything out of your mouth about anything related to this, you should. Trish and Sarah's required listening. Like, you just absolutely have to listen.
Yeah,
to it.
I do sort of. I'm like, I think that in order to type into Twitter.com, you should listen to that episode first.
Yeah,
but
yeah, exactly.
Put it up.
Joe Biden's not returning my phone calls. So.
He's really worried about how you should get a free seat for your kid when you fly. I believe is what he's on right now. Well, we're not going to talk politics on this podcast, so we've got to move on and start talking about some of the dumb shit we actually will talk about. Mark Briscoe got an in-ring segment on Collision this week. Great transition, where he responded to the House of Black attacking him before last week's stupid steel cage match. silly steel cage match for silly boys. He was interrupted by a little House of Black power outage, followed by a House of Black pre-tape that was mostly about how Malachi Black loves magic tricks. Thoughts?
It explains a lot. One of our listeners in our Discord channel said, "Oh, this is the House of Black to me," and they put a little screenshot of Joe Bluth and the League of Magicians holding up a like "We demand to be taken seriously" sign, which has shaped how I see House of Black going forward.
Yeah, I think
I believe in response, Allie photoshopped him saying, "They're not tricks; they're illusions.
They're illusions." And we had Malachi, say that to us because he said, "Girls, why are you always so mean to me?" I said, "Because you're so fucking boring, dude. And you have a bad attitude," which is our least favorite thing. Mm-hmm. Also on Collision, FTR and Danny Garcia had a little backstage segment about whether they'll continue wrestling together. I actually thought, I was like, I feel like I've never seen this happen before and I don't really understand why it's happening. Like, usually people just kind of like partner up until they don't. I love that it was like kind of a check-in. Like, are you still feeling safe? Like, is this a good situation for you? And I was like, it's not for me. I can send. Isn't there someone you forgot to ask?
And they were all like, of course, I never imagined I would ever team with them, but of course I value it so strongly. It is very funny because there are so many nonsensical pairings of people, but no one has ever been called upon to be like, does it make sense to you? And then been like, no, not at all. And I don't know why it's happening, but
it's gonna keep
of course
happening.
I love it. And FTR kind of looked dead behind the eyes as they were saying it.
They've had a really beaten energy for a while. And it couldn't happen to a more terrible group.
More terrible couple of people. I do hope Cash Wheeler's in jail soon. He won't be. He lives in Florida. But when was the last time they were on Dynamite? Has it been?
Oh, they're legally not allowed.
They're not banned allowed. From the building, I think, if they try to show up. From
the because of the EVPs. And that's their best work yet. Just kidding, guys. No one's been banned from the building, probably. Who could never be sure?
It is true that FTR and House of Black are the only ones who haven't escaped Collision Island, though.
I think they want to be there. Like, I mean, I don't know. They're still telling themselves stories about how Collision is such a great show, which men on the internet have also been telling themselves. And let's do a quick check in here. We watched Collision together this week. We do a lot of things together. Like, that's what gives us the strength to do things. So we watched Collision together, and the matches on that show are so long. But then it's like we watched Swerve Hangman on Dynamite this week. That's a long match. I'm riveted every second.
I know.
Even matches that I like on Collision, they just, after a while, you're like, how could this still be happening?
I'm looking at it right now. That Daniel Garcia and FTR versus the Patriarchy match was 23 minutes long. Guns to my head, I would have said it was at least 45, if not an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We did watch Rampage first, but I made you guys stop in the middle of Collision because I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, we have to take a break and watch something else.
Pathetic little mule from Am, like, please.
How much longer? There's still an hour left. I can't do it. We had to come back the next night.
It kills me every time anyone like describes Collision that's a fan of it, because they're saying the same things except complimentary. They're like, it's just like a shoe that you've been wearing all of your life. And like, it's just, you can just put your foot in the shoe.
Your foot loves to be there. The shoe kisses the foot.
The leather is just like, it's just so broken in. It just,
it's like it is your foot.
So comfortable. You just don't even think about anything that's happening. Like, you couldn't even pay attention if you tried. Like, yeah.
I feel a little bad because I'm like, I know that Collision isn't like, it's not our enemy and we shouldn't be mean to it. But it's still just like, yeah, it does kind of suck ass though. Like, for us, based on what we like, it's not what we prefer. But
no, I feel like there's just not storylines happening in a way, except that like House of Black does things and you're just like, well, I couldn't focus on that.
They do magic. At all. They do magic tricks.
Yeah, they do magic. They do illusions. And FTR talks passionately about nothing.
I would like to watch, you know, the Arrested Development when Job goes into the, he's supposed to marry Anne and then instead he goes into The Rock and ends up somewhere. You know that great part of Arrested Development? Anyway, I'd love to put Malachi.
I can't remember that.
It's because he's playing Jesus or something.
Oh, well, right.
Yeah, you know. Anyway, let's move on. So then, Danny Garcia and FTR fought Christian Cage, and Dax said his sons in the main event, which shocked me because I was like, I don't think we are kind of the, I would call us, like, professionals when it comes to subject matter experts. Thank you, Anne. When it comes to saying, like, who is whose son, Luchasaurus is not Christian's son.
No.
Okay.
He's his dog. Abused dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. It's a father dog situation, not a father lover situation.
Of course. And pay attention, FTR. It's a classic father dog situation.
Doesn't surprise me that FTR doesn't know what a son is.
They were right that Nick Wayne, of course, is Christian's son.
Of course.
Who Christian is bringing in insane energy to, but Luchasaurus is a dog. So that was the main event, and Danny Garcia pinned Nick Wayne for the win. I don't know, like, yeah, any thoughts on FTR kind of wriggling their way into the Coposphere, as I've said here?
That's my only thought about why this is happening, is that, like, if they fight Christian enough, it'll eventually... Because I think FTR is like BFF with Cope.
I believe so.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I assume it's going to go there eventually. But it's like, why did Daniel Garcia have to like hold Cope's place open? I don't... Like, why did that happen?
I don't know. I did think it was really funny. Dax in his little promo was like, and I don't know if you heard, but the rankings are back and we're not in the tag team rankings. And that's okay, because there's some great teams in there. It's just like, okay, buddy. He goes, you know what rankings we are in? We're in the trios rankings. So we're coming for you tonight, like Christian and Sons. And it was just like, they don't have any titles. Like, I mean, I guess it's because you're trying to rise in the rankings, but just the way he framed it was just like, sir, you must take a breath.
It was so funny that he threw in that little insecurity about being in the rankings that he really didn't need to. And then being like, there's great tag teams in the rankings. It's like, yeah, like Alex Silver and Alex Reynolds and John Silver. And
no,
like,
I liked
Orange,
it. I like
you married
John
him.
And Alex Silver.
Alex Silver, yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And, and Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta, that classic tag team.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
in the rankings.
You know, Jax is that consistently now. That drill tweet that's like, I'm not owned. I continue to insist as I slowly shrink and transform into a corn cob.
Yep. Don't put that I was mad in the paper also.
No. Let's just do a quick little check-in then. We have nothing else to say about that. But we did, as a group, as we do
It is a little troubling how many times we're like, and we were also watching this as a group. Like, yeah, we had a great weekend, okay?
I don't know what to tell you guys. We hang out online a lot, okay? We like each other, but
it's winter.
It's winter. We can't go outside. Some of us live in really cold climates. So we did watch the Disney Plus Percy Jackson show because Adam Copeland was in it, well, for multiple reasons. But we were like, we got to see what Cope's getting up to in there. And what he's getting up to is actually great acting. He is really good in it.
We were kind of like ready to make fun of him, I think. Yeah. But like we're I came out of it really loving Adam Copeland.
Oh, revved up.
Literally felt like it was like, is Copeland the greatest actor of our time? Or is my brain like permanently damaged from wrestling? Because like he was delightful. Like everything he was doing was perfect.
I'm not naming names, but he was better than some normal actors in that show. Like he actually did kill it. He was so funny. He did such a great, I think wrestling really prepared him for the character in the way he was supposed to be like really broad and funny and then abruptly super scary. Mm-hmm. Wrestling had his back. He was ready for it.
I mean, really, casting the God of War as a pro wrestler is like not a bad idea.
And I was reading an interview where somebody was like, the scene in the diner when you were sitting down with, I don't know if anything's a spoiler, so I'll just say with a character.
With a child.
Did you approach that as a promo? And he was like, a little bit. And like a promo battle, a little bit. And I was like, I fucking love this.
So cute.
He did a great job. I'm horny for the man, of course.
Yeah.
So
he was really hot. Being really funny and he looked great.
He was really hot. He was really funny. And there was moments of incredible patheticness. And that is a combination
so important.
That I'm really into.
That is the hottest a man could be when he combines those
when
things.
When he's wet and pathetic?
And I think this podcast will bear that out. I think we've been on the record about that. Yeah.
If you consult our records and you'll find we have very often talked about both wetness and patheticness in highly complimentary terms. So, I guess in some ways it's quite an uneven show quality-wise. Of course, TV has been ruined by the 8-episode season.
If only they had gotten Supernatural 22 episodes.
Like, if only they'd gotten a little of that CW budget. But there's fun parts, and just check out the Cope scenes if you want to be like, ooh, Mr. Copeland. You know?
I was so excited to see him. I was like, and then he's gonna like kiss his husband Christian. It's like, no, that's the wrestling show you watch that you're not that excited to see him in usually. So I don't know what
well, now I am. I want to see him kiss more than ever.
I know.
Okay, speaking of kissing, Swerve and Hangman had the third match of their trilogy on Dynamite this week. They didn't kiss, but what if they had? You know?
They came pretty close. They did some tender biting.
What can we say before we dig down into some of the stuff we loved about the match? What can we say from an objective perspective? Swerve was over as a face with the crowd. Hangman was getting booed by the crowd. The match had a slightly, and I'm not saying this like my judgmentally, the way they approached it felt like they approached it a little tactically. Both men were feeling each other out. They know each other pretty well at this point. They know each other's bodies. So they were kind of deciding how to approach the match. And then ultimately the approach that they had was for 30 minutes. And so it was full on sex. Should we say that? Can we say that? I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
I think it is what it is. I see what I see.
Well, yeah. What else are we supposed to say?
What are we supposed to say?
When you watch two men literally roll on top of each other like over and over for like, I mean, what are you supposed to say about it? What are you supposed to think?
Push each other to their limits, to the limits of their bodies.
They were communicating. You
know? They were communicating with their bodies. Body-wise.
The kissing poses they did, they were intense kissing poses.
They were galloping terribly, I would say.
Yeah. Yes, they were. And I felt like, when I got on Twitter afterwards, I thought, now people see it the way the fun-loving girls do. Because it was a real wall of content saying, I need a cigarette. And I did. And I did need a cigarette. And I had a great time and I loved it. So how did the match end, you may ask? Well, it was a 30-minute time limit, and the buzzer sounded just as Swerve had pinned Hangman at a two count. So the question remains, would Hangman have managed to kick out? We'll never know. Swerve, desperate, asks for 5 more minutes. Hangman, enraged, says, no, you will never get anything from me. You will never win the world championship. You'll never have anything. And he rolls out of the ring and he goes to leave. And then little trickster Tony calls down to like Tony Schiavone or whatever and says, actually, Swerve and Hangman are tied in the standings as the number one contenders, and they will both be fighting Joe at Revolution. And Swerve goes from looking so upset to laughing his little laugh, and Hangman is gesticulating and saying, you didn't win, you never won. And they will all fight each other at Revolution. And Annis, I think you've pointed out that is a party that I don't think that Samoa Joe is going to find himself really a central part of.
Samoa Joe is like a sideline in someone else's romantic and sexual story. Yeah, I thought it was so interesting that Hangman, like, I really like the character note where he's focused on keeping Swerve from, doesn't care if he wins the world belt title. He just wants Swerve to not have it, which, so him being disappointed that he gets a title shot is really, like, an angry is, it's real good.
Mm-hmm. It's true, because he did that one little promo at Joe, but Swerve was there too, where he was just like, I let my eyes off the world championship, but now it's like I have my head screwed on, I'm going to go for it again. But it's like, nobody buys it, buddy. We know that it's really not about you getting it, it's about him not getting it, which anyone who's ever been a toddler understands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When a man broke into your house and threatened your baby, I mean.
Yeah. Well, do you guys want to get into...
Did you see this? Someone in our group chat, I wish I could remember exactly who, was like, the thing was that maybe it wasn't really a house invasion because, you know, any house that Swerve's in, it's his house.
So it's kind of a loophole, kind of a technicality there.
It wasn't really heel behavior.
So true. Do you guys want to talk about some of the face heel dynamics here? Maybe we can work through our feelings together.
I would really like that because I am very indecisive about a lot of this. Like, I feel like a lot of the discussion I've been reading on the internet, I'm like, I don't quite agree with you, but I don't know how I feel either. So,
yeah. To me, like, Hangman going heel has made sense, like, as a story beat, because it's like Swerve, like, has dysregulated to him to the point where now he'll do anything to murder Swerve, and so that's working.
Yeah,
I think it's much like in life, in fiction, it's easier for a good person to become a bad person than it is for a bad person to become a good person, which is why we should all be careful about what we're doing all the time, because you can really go off a cliff, you know, and it's hard to come back. But Swerve becoming babyface is the part where I'm like, they're not really doing the work, and they never do the work, you know?
No. So. Yeah. Right. It's like, is it fair to, but we decry everybody for it, so it's fair for us to do it. Is it fair for other people to complain about it that much when you didn't complain about it? I mean, I guess people complain about it kind of with MJF heel turn, but then like MJF was doing... Whatever, we can't get into that. Let's not even reopen that.
His character's like so much more squirrely and
all
over the place. I feel like it was less of a
You are right. I keep doing our classic exercise of being like, okay, well, when Spike on Buffy face turned, what did they have to do to make it work? And I was thinking, like, does he out and out apologize for stuff? Like, no, except for eventually some really bad stuff he does. It is, I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, well, a certain degree of it is about vulnerability, right? Like, and that's true on all, in all media, when there's an evil character, the more that you get to know them and understand them and see them in moments when they're not performing their villainy, that is when you start to like, be like, okay, no, I see it. And they have been doing... So Swerve has been doing these promos where they're kind of like facey promos that are talking about like his, what he wants and, you know, like what he, why he has done the things that he's done. I think it's mixed success. Like, especially he did the one on Collision that was the Black History Month themed one where he's saying like, I want to be the first Black AEW champion. which makes total sense as, you know, something for him to be pursuing. And then, but then he also mixed in that he's like, so I won't apologize for anything that I've done on the way to get here. And as a viewer, you're kind of like, okay, well, you did menace a baby. So I guess I personally feel like I would have taken a slightly different tack to be like, maybe I've done fucked up shit and maybe I shouldn't have done it. But like when you have a dream that is so big and so important, sometimes like shit goes wacky on the way to get there.
Yeah.
That to me would have been more like, it's a slight change, but it would have been more persuasive than to deliver in kind of a villainous way. Like, but I'm not sorry for anything I've done, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think when you see that, like the bad stuff they did came out, what it was motivated by, sometimes that can help. Like, I feel like Hangman has done the sort of Healy stuff Two-Face pretty well when it was like, he was like insecure and alcoholic. So he started sort of downward spiraling, and then he like treated his friends really badly. And so you can kind of come back from that, 'cause you're like, well, that's sort of like sympathy, or at least relatable. And Swerve is like, so like, I love his presentation. He's so cool. And so, but he's still doing a lot of the like kind of cool psycho stuff. And it is harder to feel like he's a good guy, I think.
Yeah. And I think that's where I have felt like the vulnerability is not coming out that much. You still feel like you're seeing a lot of performance. I think the other thing that's going on is that it's like, you can feel the way the narrative is being directed, kind of, right? Right. Where it's like, he's like, well, I have this like big righteous dream that I'm pursuing, and it's like valid. And it's like, yeah, it's totally valid, dude. But actually the shit that happened between you and Hangman was really personal. Like, it actually wasn't like, that is a part of your story and a part of your character. But we as viewers know that that does not explain the shit that went on between the two of you. So you're not being 100% with us. You're not being fully vulnerable. You're not giving us everything. You're telling us a story.
I was just thinking, like, because I've been very like, but I don't know how they like turn Swerve face, like for real in the time frame that they have, because like the menacing of baby is just really bad. But I just thought, you're right. It is really personal with Hangman. And I think if he came out and said, you know, I'm sexually and romantically in love with Hangman, and that's why I had to really go to his home because I was so driven wild by my love for him, I think that would work for me. So that's something to think about. Just a free idea for them.
I think also, I think he could get away with just saying like, you know what? I can admit it. You make me crazy. Yeah. I have done crazy things that I didn't mean to do because I felt like you pushed me to the limit, and my anger at you for the things that you have pushed me to the limit. But you know what? Totally. I don't want that. I don't want that in my space anymore. Like, I want to go for what I want, and I don't want you to be a part of it. I want to leave you behind.
That would be a really good face moment for Swerve to be like, I am over you. I am focused on the belt. I am not doing this anymore. I'm not like, you and I are we have a toxic relationship, and I am ending it. And Hangman, for Hangman to be like, you'll never be done with me, that would be both really, really sexy, and it would work really well.
And
it would tie in with those promos that he's giving about like being the first Black champion and Black History Month and stuff, which like, as isolated incidents, I have like enjoyed the promos. Absolutely. Like, they work, but it's like in the whole narrative, they just kind of are weird.
Yeah. It really is this question of like, you want to make the pieces all add up, and I don't know. It's hard. Like, I understand that it's hard to, over time in the world of wrestling, make it all
make
sense.
Well, that's part of it. Is I think I listened to that interview that Swerve gave where he was talking about how like he and Hangman didn't want to fall into like this like rigid face heel roles that they were coming into each fight examining motivations, which I think is fair, except that now I think like the structure is being imposed on them. You know what I mean? Like, they like all of us, like all of a sudden they don't have like, it's just not, like if they had the freedom to continue both being kind of tweeners, it would work. But like, it seems like we're supposed to be understanding that the structure is coming to play now.
Yeah. Do you guys ever feel like I feel like sometimes when longtime wrestling fans are talking to me about how baby faces and heels have to function, and it's like, I have, you know, like I know like other media and what good guys and bad guys are, but I don't have like the history of like the wrestling yeah. history and experience. It's like often they're saying things, and it keeps reminding me of producer Marjorie told the story where like she told her 4-year-old that they couldn't roll down the windows in the car because when it's 32 degrees out, because it's bad for the car. And she said he got a look on his face like, that doesn't sound right, but I don't know enough about cars to dispute it. And that's like constantly how I feel in these heel and face like conversations where I'm yeah. like, that doesn't seem right, but I'm out of my depth here. I don't know.
Yeah. No, we definitely have acknowledged in the past that it's like, we lack a certain amount of context for what has traditionally been the case in the sport and a lot of the, you know, like traditional dynamics that people have played with. I think that we all have said at various points, like, it doesn't, face heel stuff does not always fully make sense to us, or like yeah. the stuff where it's like, if someone is a heel, like to be a heel, you have to have organic heat and everybody has to be mad at you. And it's kind of like, okay, well there's like, sometimes that seems true, but then sometimes it does seem fun for the crowd to be like, yeah. oh, he's just being a little bad. Just being a bad little guy. Like there has to be space in there for bad little guys.
I know. And people keep being also like, well, the crowds are changing now. They want to cheer the heels and stuff. And it's like, well, if the crowds are changing, maybe we need to change how we're thinking about this too. But again, I don't know enough about cars to
know. I know.
It, so like I don't know.
There's two persuasive arguments because, like, I think that there is an argument to say that, like, you know, there's very rare people that are willing to be heels the way like Don Callis and Christian are heels. Like,
yeah.
a lot mm-hmm. of people like play in the space where they do want to be chanted and they want yeah. people to buy their merch. Mm-hmm. And so
yeah.
I get that, like, there's a certain extent where people are like, heels are not supposed to be cheered. They're supposed yeah. to be booed. And
yeah.
like, that's like, if you are wimping out from that, then that sucks. And I sort of understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, I'm like, there should be a spectrum of heels. Like, Swerve should be yeah. allowed to be a bad guy who gets cheered and exists yeah. in the same D&D quadrant as Christian, who is full on getting booed nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think go ahead, Ann.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I do understand, because it's like, sometimes the crowd doesn't know how they're supposed to react to something.
Yeah.
It clearly really throws them. And I know, like, being in the crowd, like, it's very fun to, like, do what you're supposed to
yeah,
do and
is,
to chant
yeah.
and boo and stuff. So it's like, on the one hand, like, I get it. Like, you want the crowd to know, like, the kind of interaction
yeah.
you're having with them. But yeah, but there is, like, a, like, terrible little rat boy thing, you know, or Swerve being like a cool psycho that you still want to cheer, that I feel like you do need to figure out space for, maybe.
Did you guys ever watch the episode of the Magic School Bus where they like are on a frictionless baseball field and they're like learning about how friction works and how if there's no friction, like nothing ever slows down and, you know, like things can only change course if like you hit something that makes you change course. Sometimes that's what the wrestling sphere, like that's how I think about it, is it's like you have all these people, like they're trying to move in certain directions. They're like in space or whatever, but they just have to aim at each other. Like that's what Swerve and Hangman are doing right now. They're like aiming at each other and being like, okay, and then that, if we aim at each other in a certain way, we'll bounce off in a way that will make me this and you this. And it's like, maybe. Yeah. I don't, but you have to yeah. say some stuff to get me there to go with it. I don't know if any of that made sense.
No, it did.
No, totally. Well, and like wrestling is so like, they're always dealing with the unexpected.
Yeah.
And like how the crowd reacts is like another unexpected thing. So it's probably amazing when they ever put together anything.
I know it is.
And I feel like you just have to be quick on your feet to be able to sort of yeah. roll with the punches and come up with
yeah.
something that makes sense.
I think it's just hard sometimes in wrestling when it's like the crowd wants to cheer. So they're like, well, we'll present this in a way that like will make it clear that it's okay for the crowd to cheer. And it's just like, okay, but that doesn't cover that doesn't cover everything that's going on here. So like
yeah.
to me, then there's a feeling of like artificiality of like, okay,
yeah.
well, but that's not right. Like I don't,
yeah.
I'm not getting everything that I need from you to be in that crowd enthusiastically, like doing the
yeah.
thing that you want me to do. And I, to be super clear at the end, I say this loving these men and loving what
yeah.
they're up to and like wanting them to go on to do way more of it,
yeah.
even more of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it is like you do feel like Leah said, it's like it feels like the tropes are like kind of coming down on them when they were trying not to do it. And you hate to see like the character get flattened. Like I do think like everything they're doing, it's like it sounds like I'm not enjoying this, and I
we're trying to talk it through for ourselves. Is it's like what's working and what could be better? Right. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or like what are they doing at all?
They're doing the best storyline. Yeah.
Yeah, the wrestling I have no complaints. Absolutely no complaints about. It's only like trying to predict what's going to happen next, feeling like it's not like the promos. I would have done things that slightly differently, but like to be clear, the wrestling has fucking ruled.
Oh, it fucking rocks. And it's like the passion rocks. I think it's just that it is that thing where, you know what I said the other day when I was in college, I worked at the writing center and people would bring me their papers and I would be like, okay, yeah, that mostly makes sense. Actually, often it didn't make sense at all. That's true for many wrestlers, but I'd be like, that mostly makes sense. We've just got to change a couple things and it's going to strengthen the argument so much. And that is what I feel when I'm like engaging with this and with the question of the face heel dynamics, is it's like, oh God, I wish I were backstage and I could just tell you like two things that I think would really strengthen your argument.
Yeah. And like one promo could really tie it all up if they sort of figured out the right angle for it.
We're always saying it only takes a moment.
Yeah. But in the meantime, you know, Swerve's Buckshot Lariating Hangman, and that was good for me. That was
unbelievable.
That was really good for
me. When he did that, I was like, you dare Buckshot Hangman,
and he looked good doing it.
Yeah, he could do it.
He could do it.
A man who can do a Buckshot Lariat.
All right, well, let's move on from one super sexy feud to another crazy sexy feud. I mean, we are
incredible
ladies. At the end of the day, we're eaten. Okay. So Toni Storm fought Red Velvet on Dynamite this week with Deonna Purrazzo on commentary. This match did unfortunately have to follow the Swerve Hangman opener, which sucks for them. I don't think that it should have been there.
No.
No,
that was just mean. Screwed over so much. Mean spirited.
Yeah,
I know.
Right.
But you know, it was there. They did a good job. Deonna did a good job on commentary. I don't remember. She didn't say anything crazy unhinged, I don't think, like Toni does. But like, it's like she was bringing a very powerful energy. Like you just really felt she knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, she felt so confident and just like, yeah, I belong here. And you know, she and Taz were just
And I enjoy that she and Toni in some ways are mirroring Cope and Christian, where like her vibe on commentary was like, I had like she was my friend and I liked her, and now she's doing something crazy and I wish it wasn't happening because I miss my friend.
Yeah.
That's true. With like a little less of Cope's initial like, I want to save you. Her vibe isn't really I want to save you. She's just like, Toni, babe, you've got to get better. Go to the doctor.
Yeah, this isn't normal. Yeah.
I know you don't think this is okay.
It's like everybody around you is too scared to say this. Toni, you are out of your mind.
Commentary was doing a lot of like, and you know, Toni, she's lost the championship three times and each one has really taken a hit to her sanity. And now she's this. It's like,
As I saw someone on TikTok saying today, the people in your life are not being honest with you. That is the energy that Deonna is bringing. After Toni won the match versus Red Velvet, we had a little in-ring segment. Ladies, what can we say about this? Just as we struggled with the question in the last segment, yet again we struggle. Sniffing and nuzzling.
Mm-hmm. Erotically sniffing Deonna in the ring.
They took kissing pose and they added, did it 10 times. They added, it was a play on kissing pose.
A play. An amuse
kissing pose. In the women's division to have this level of eroticism?
We don't usually get that. And
we don't usually get that now.
I was stunned.
And to get it when it's like, you are just like, this is a raw, organic feeling passion between two women.
With a long history. Who have matching tattoos.
They were roommates. So that fucking rocked. That was great.
And then the promo that was on Twitter afterwards, where Tony was talking to Mariah and was like, yes, and when I sniffed Deanna in the ring, and then she paused, and everyone's looking at her, and she goes...
She's so funny.
She's so good. She's so good.
I'm so hyped for this match for Revolution. I think they're doing such a good job in the build for this pay-per-view because there's so many things where I'm like, well, I can't wait to see that. That's really going to pay off. And they're making it feel like a big deal.
I know. Yeah. And they're rolling them out. I want these women to get their hands on each other.
Yeah. When they'll finally get their hands on each other. Yeah.
And it's like, obviously we're in the soggy middle of the cycle. Like, but I have to say, I think they've been rolling out the actual match drops at a great measured pace over the course of, you know, the last couple months. And like, it's not feeling too soggy. This was a great show. This week's show was
Not soggy at all.
It was a hot show.
It was one of the rare times that I think we agreed with like the internet. Like I feel like sometimes we've come on here and been like, I thought that was a great episode and
everyone was mourning. I know.
But this was one of the rare ones where everybody shook hands and was like, great game, great game, great game.
Yeah. Being a little wrestling fan is so funny. Sometimes you are just like, am I crazy? Like, but no, we're right, I think.
Yeah.
So they are going to fight at Revolution. What do you think the outcome will or should be? What are you expecting or hoping for?
I can't decide because the thing is that I do not believe that people who are in their first 3 months of being at AEW should be allowed to get the belt.
Yeah.
But there's also a point where I'm like, how long can Tony do this and what would knock her out? I don't know what the answer is. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know where the story goes next.
Losing the belt would cause her to have a mental break that would change her game. And maybe it would be a good time to go out on a high with the 40s thing because it's true. Like you can't milk it forever. But it does feel very, like when I think about Deanna being the world title holder, I do feel a little bit like, I don't know about that. Like
she just got here. Yeah.
She just got here. And actually, you know what I'm going to have us do? I'm going to have us pause this conversation, move into the next segment, and then circle back on it. How does that feel?
Okay. Love it.
Okay. Yeah. So Tony spent all week, Tony Khan, there's too many Tonys, or as I said the other day, Tony Harding, about Tanya Harding. Tony Khan spent all week hyping up his big announcement for Dynamite, and the big announcement turned out to be that AEW is returning to Boston, and they will be running a show at TD Garden in mid-March, and the show has a special name, Big Business. And Tony's very excited, and it's going to be one of their biggest shows ever. And he's so excited. Everybody should go to the show. So the consensus of pretty much, I think 100% consensus of the audience online is that Mercedes Moné is going to be debuting at the show, which was like teased in the Boston thing. What, you guys all know it. You're online. We are going to be getting a big change in the women's division. Let's talk about this announcement. Let's switch tacks. Tony's really been working it at doing these announcements. He's really been working it talking to the camera, huh?
He did look more normal, but it was very funny because he had the impression of a person who is being very like, what do I normally do with my hands? Just hold them at your sides. Hold them at your sides. Like the whole time. And you're like, this is taking a lot out of you to
someone gave him some
normally.
Kind of visualization exercise to do. And he was working really hard at it. I think like you said while we were watching it, you were like, he's been working really hard at it. You can tell. I said, yeah, you can tell, but that doesn't mean he's good at it. It doesn't mean he's doing a good job.
And that's what I meant. Like, you can tell a lot of effort is going into this presentation. Yeah. This is not natural.
But good for you, Tony. We're not being mean to you. We're just celebrating how...
I found it endearing.
How fun it is to watch.
To be honest, I would rather have a CEO who cannot for the life of him be normal on camera than I would like any kind of like sleazy, like, you know, smooth talker. I'm like, it's way funnier that like Tony.
You don't think you don't think Matt Jackson should take over these announcements? I know that can't be true, Leah. You don't think that he wouldn't do a great job while he's selling us a used car that has a engine full of sawdust?
I think I really hit a new... I mean, we'll get into it. I think I hit a new level when I called him a Botox dealer to the stars. Of course he could read me the phone book, but it is I do really like my announcements from Tony because it's like this moment where I'm like, look at you. You don't know how to be a human being.
It is like watching the high school morning announcements a little bit. Oh my god, a little closed circuit TV.
Oh, I miss those. I haven't thought about those in so long. Why don't I get those in my apartment? It's called the news. I was going to say, I think that the only thing that I sometimes feel is I'm like, oh, you don't have to work. Just do whatever weird thing you were doing before. It's fine. Yeah. Just be weird. It's okay. You can be a freak. Yeah. Anyway, but...
It does feel like he's working a lot harder at the women's division lately in preparation for Mercedes Moné, which I do love. And it does show that, like, with a little bit of thought and attention, you actually can have several quite delightful women's storylines going at once. And it's been so great.
Good. Yeah. I mean, it is, as we always say, you don't have to spend that much time on them to make them feel real and enjoyable. So, but the reason I wanted us to cycle back on it was because it was like, okay, so Tony and Deanna are going to fight at Revolution. And as you've said, Leah, it's like, I agree. I don't think people should get to this company and get belts. I think that you should put in your time and I should get to know you before I see you get a belt. Mm-hmm. And because that's the only way you're going to have me on your side. And I know you want me on your side.
We're valuable. We're very valuable allies.
Yeah.
We reach wide audience.
Many people we are fans of are grateful for you our favor.
You want to be in with the fun-loving girls?
Yeah. You're going to have those to get on our fun-loving girl side. Demographic. Yeah. The unaccompanied women diet.
Everyone in wrestling is like, no, we've never thought about the fun-loving girl demographic.
Not even
We've never once thought about it. And in fact, we'd almost prefer not to pander to it.
We do everything we can to keep the fun-loving girls out of wrestling, actually.
That's Dustin Grima worm-tonguing backstage, being like, we don't want those fun-loving girls around. They're always asking you to do things like answer questions about what color you like. I don't even know what I'm saying right now. What was I going to say? Oh, okay. So then let's say Tony keeps the title, okay? Then the next thing that's happening is that Mercedes is coming into the division. Yeah. And I don't want Mercedes getting the title either.
No.
So,
she will.
And I don't like your pragmatism. But I don't like your pragmatic outlook there. I just don't think you should come in and get a title. I think I should get to know you.
I fully agree with you. I don't think Mercedes Moné or Will Ospreay should get him this year, but we'll see what happens.
But it is your belief that that is what will happen.
I think she will. Yeah.
Okay.
Although I don't know the time. I don't know what the time frame will be, but certainly before the end,
I think, all in
2024.
The problem with the women's division is okay.
The one problem.
Let's say the one problem. Yeah. The one problem. Let's say Tony lets us make that rule. You have to be in AEW for 6 months before you're allowed to touch the belt.
Yeah.
So that takes Deanna and Mercedes out. Who would take it off of Tony?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to give it to Sheeta again. Britt needs a lot of fucking rehabilitation before she can be.
When is
I'd love to see her again.
I'd love to see her again, of course. I would love to see her again.
We haven't. Have we seen, has What's-Her-Face? Allie. You know, she just came back, Thunder Rosa. Thunder has she Rosa. Been yeah. wrestling anywhere again? Or
she's not going to get
immediately again, but
yeah. She's been. Yeah, she was on. Remember, she was in that tag team with Abaddon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was a while ago, right? And then she had a couple singles. She had two singles matches, maybe.
Yeah.
What is time?
I feel like in January she's had a couple matches.
Well, I don't think she's going to get.
If I could think of like one person to take it off of Tony and hold it for 6 months while we all got to know Mercedes, then I would let her have it. But I just don't think that Deanna, and this is true for both of them, should have it the first time they challenge for it.
I know. Yeah.
But, I don't run the world. So I think in 6 months, instead, I will be like, and of course, all the respect to my champions.
All the respect. And of course, all our best to her friends and family, our traditional best to her friends and family. Well, I guess we'll see what happens. Do you guys think that Okada is also coming at Big Boston, Big Business Boston?
Listen, I am going to go to that show, and I'm going to, like,
I know
I'm
you
be
are.
Really overwhelmed. I'm going to be really overwhelmed. Yeah. I really like debuts because I really like being in a crowd of happy people.
Leah's really like, I need debuts. That energy to be positive.
remember how we were present in person for Adam Cole and CM Punk debuting?
No,
was it? No, Danielson.
Yeah. But again,
CM Punk was the 2 weeks before
course,
or something.
Yeah. But that's a perfect example because I fucking didn't know either of those men.
That was so fun.
And yet I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's because I fucking love being in a happy crowd.
I know. That was a great show.
I was cheering my face off.
Never seen men so happy as when Brian Danielson debuted.
I know. I guess Adam Cole was a bigger memory for me because that moment where Kenny was like, no one's defeated me. No one alive. Or dead.
You were like, wow, Kenny anime boy really coming out to play with that one.
that was big for us. But yeah, no, I hope Okada comes. I think he's very, I think he's so funny. Like all of his little backstage nonsense, like the jokes about him joining the Bucks faction.
I want it. But I think at the very least, even if he doesn't join up with them, I do want to see Matt Jackson taking credit for it. I do want to see Matt Jackson.
I know.
Matthew Jackson.
I know. Like, I want to see Nicholas Jackson saying, we landed Mercedes and we landed Okada.
Yeah. Okay, girls. Let's kick it over to the tag team division.
Do you think that there was anything interesting that we'll
not
like
that
to
much.
Talk about?
This will just take a couple minutes. I think we'll be in and out. Flash. Okay, so we're going to start with, this is not interesting, but Big Bill and Ricky Starks fought the Dark Order on Collision and won. Darby Allin was on commentary.
It is funny for you to start like, we're pretty excited about this, and then be like, Big Bill and Ricky Starks fought the Dark Order, guys.
I think I've done that before. I think I'm always being like, now this is pretty exciting, and forgetting that there's like some lead up stuff to the exciting stuff. So it's probably not great radio, but it is what it is. Leah, do you want to briefly explain that this little issue you're having this week? We have a new man on the pod, just a new guy in our lives.
So my husband that I don't care for, Eric Beacon.
R.I.P. He's still alive.
Well, he went to WWE, so he might as well be dead.
This is Leah's recapper from BleacherReport.com. He stopped covering Dynamite for a long time. I think it's been like 3 or 4 weeks. And then he was still doing Collision, but now he stopped doing Collision too. And so now I think he's just doing WWE. So
what happened?
I don't know. No. I'm like, this man is a celebrity to me. And I keep like searching Twitter.
Your husband is a celebrity.
I'm like, guys,
parasocial, but also
who has the details and what happened to Eric Beeston? But like, nobody does.
What is worse in this world than when like you are really interested in something and you're just using Google like your friend you're trying to talk to? Mm-hmm. Like, is anybody talking about this? And Google is like, girl, no. Nobody cares.
And when you're parasocial about someone that's not famous, like that's a tough place.
It's
to be
rough.
In.
Yeah.
That's
so hard.
So anyways, in this time, I'm starting a new relationship with a man named Doc Chris Muller. And we're
I love that for you.
You know, we're going on a couple dates, getting to know each other.
I don't think you're going to you're going to go to another website and find a different husband. I kind of think this is the guy. I kind of think this is like an arranged marriage. Then it's like on his way out, Eric Beeston was like, and Leah, you'll be married to Doc Chris Muller from now on.
And unfortunately, you're finding him kind of dull so far. Yeah, like not as much passion as you had.
No,
with
I
Eric
mean
Beeston.
The thing with Eric is that like you know the sex was wild. You know, like, you get into that recap and like,
what if someone who listens knows Eric Beeston?
Oh my God, this is jokes.
This is about this an imagined idea of Eric Beeston. Not
and my
the man
friends,
himself.
The listeners, it is not for Eric Beeston.
Be cool. Hey, guys, be cool.
Be cool.
Okay? You would never say to anybody else, you'd never tell anybody else the things we say on this podcast, would you?
Betray
a
confidence.
Don't think so. No, I don't think so. We're all in the circle of trust here.
It's just that Eric Beeston would say some shit where you'd be like, that's fucking crazy. But the act of... like I would turn to my notes and like explain why that was crazy, which would clarify for me things that I wanted to say on this pod. And Doc Chris Muller, which you know, I'm getting to know him. Maybe he'll start saying some crazy
getting
shit.
To know
but he just kind of says like pretty like straightforward. Normal. He'll just like, and then they fought, and I'm like, I really, I really need you to come out here and be like, and I think they're going to betray each other. So I could be like, you fucking idiot.
Or maybe you would agree. Maybe if he came out and passionately said, you know, like, and I think this, you would be like, me too. And you guys could be a perfect marriage of the mind.
A functional relationship? If I had a functional relationship with my recapper?
Anything anything is possible. Well, he did say a few things that you liked.
I did bring
you
them
liked
in there.
These. Yeah,
yeah
we'll
I believe
them.
in my notes I said the man that I've just maligned did say two things I'd like to bring up.
Yeah, bring them up.
Which is that Darby Allin was on commentary, and
which I was shocked by. He been on commentary? He might have been on commentary before.
I mean, who could say? We don't remember things that happened more than 3 weeks ago, but
we don't know.
But
yeah.
I feel like I haven't heard him talk that consistently. But there was two moments that cracked my ass up. So when he first got on, he was like, the thing is that Big Bill is like, Ricky does not respect Big Bill. And I don't think that Big Bill knows it. Big Bill needs to wake up and realize that Ricky doesn't care about him. But it was like in this tone where you're like, my friend's boyfriend sucks. And I wish that my friend would dump her stupid ass boyfriend.
I love that. I feel like it's the same thing we were saying when we were like, what we were saying about Luchasaurus, when we were like, Luchasaurus is an abused animal. It's that's like Darby is like running a shelter, and he's like, we got to get this dog away from this owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he's right about Ricky and Big Bill, I think.
I think Darby's going to need a new tag partner when Sting goes. I think he would care for Big Bill.
I don't know.
Darby and Big Bill together.
That's funny. What you're describing is funny.
I would enjoy seeing them stand next to each other every week.
Sure.
I think that would be fun.
For long moments, but to wrestle together regularly? I don't know.
I'm ready to experience it. But the other funny thing that Darby did on commentary, which I actually did get from Doc Chris Mueller, is that he kept bringing up shit that happened on the during the pandemic. One of which was he was like, the commentary was like, not to look past the Dark Order. And Darby was like, I'm not looking past the Dark Order. John Silver, during the pandemic, he fought for the TNT belt. And it was just very funny where he was like, I am an AEW original. I've been here from the beginning. Don't fuck with me.
And those were our glory days there in Bill's place. Oh, like, we need, I'm sure Darby knows.
And then the other funny moment where he's like, you know what else happened during the pandemic? Ricky hurt his neck. Bye.
No, he specifically said, he was like, remember when Hangman hurt Ricky's neck? I genuinely was like, oh my God, Darby, are you allowed to say that?
It was so bitchy. It was the bitchiest thing I've ever heard him say, and it was awesome.
He did a shockingly good job on commentary. He has not traditionally been a good, like, he's not good at talking for long periods of time, but I thought he did a really good job. I liked seeing him exploring a new element. And then on Dynamite, Sting and Darby had their title match versus Big Bill and Ricky Starks. So this was the main event. You'll be shocked to hear Sting and Darby did win, and they are our new tag team champions. What did you guys find fun or interesting about the match? Did you enjoy yourselves?
I mean, Sting was going hard. I got a little worried about him.
Face at me. She made this face like, whoa.
I don't know. Not that much. I was not in my emotional best life tonight, but you're right that Sting was going hard.
Sting was going hard. He jumped off a balcony. I am still thinking about... Nobody talked to me about what the names of the moves are, but when Darby did the tope into the DDT ringside with Big Bill, you know the moment...
Yeah,
when Big Bill swung him.
Swung his hips. Yeah.
I enjoyed seeing Big Bill and Darby do stuff. Like, even when Darby was just, like, on his back like a little howler monkey and Big Bill was trying to climb over the ropes and Darby, I mean, it was just...
Maybe they are tag team partners now. I don't know. You're selling me on it, maybe. Big Bill...
I think it has grown
on me a lot.
A lot.
I know
which is crazy when he's
before,
with
but,
Ricky, but...
I know.
One little imagine about him getting stuck in a window and we're on board, you know? I forgot
that what got us on board was the Winnie the Pooh imagine. Yeah. And where Matt Jackson, I believe, was putting like a water glass on his butt.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Well, exactly. That's great. Yeah. So that's the content you get here. what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And then so Ricky did take the pin, but I actually was a little... He did that thing where he like hesitated before like going for Sting, and that's like what kind of like lost him the match or something. And then he took the pin, and I was like, Ricky, I think that you just took the pin because it's like cool to get pinned by Sting in the final months of his career. So actually, this isn't even like good behavior. You're still just like bogarting moments. Yeah. This man can't win with me. I'll tell you
no
that.
No credits. No.
Nope.
Whatever. Anyway, so Darby and Sting win. They're raising the belts. They're hugging each other. They're so happy. Sting's real life children, adult boys, adult boy type children, are ringside, and they come up to the.
Sting had a daughter there too, but she didn't get to come ringside. Yeah, oh, they said on commentary. Yeah, I was like, wait, so she didn't get to come up because they couldn't beat her up? I was like, as a woman, if I want to get beat up by the Young Bucks, that should be my right.
Would actually be so fucking pissed off.
Oh, I know. I'd be furious. I have two brothers. If my two brothers got to do that and I wanted to, I mean, maybe she didn't want to, but like,
maybe she
I'd
didn't.
Be
yeah.
furious. If,
we're angry on her behalf if she wants us to be.
If she wanted to get beat up by the Young Bucks, she deserves to be allowed.
She deserves to.
Did you see that, Mary? Our friend Mary said that she was going to start calling Sting's sons Stang and Stong.
Okay, that's really funny.
Yeah, that's fun. And they did have that look. Nice. They had that look. And what is Sting's real name? Is like Steve or?
Yeah, Steve Borden.
Steve.
And one of his sons is Steve Jr. because I went to like look up on his Wikipedia.
Oh, you went and checked that out, huh?
Children were there, yeah. They played college football.
They have that look, big, mm-hmm. big in the shoulders, boy style.
So, big time boy style, yeah.
Big time boy style. So they came up and they giving their dad hugs and they're hanging out in the corner. Everyone's so happy, confetti. Who shows up all of a sudden in the ring? But the EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, wearing these ill-fitting white suits. Buttoned, which I was so fixated for the entirety of the segment. I'm having the time of my life. Matt unbuttoned it, which was smart. Nick was like, I will not unbutton this suit. And the suit is just coming up around his ears while he's bashing his baseball bat. So they beat up Sting's children. They beat up Sting. They beat up Darby. They beat them up past the point of reasonability. Darby is bleeding all over there. And he's
rubbing his face.
Many people saying like he understood the assignment, and it's like, yeah, if there's one thing Darby understands, he's like, get the blood everywhere. So he's getting the blood all over the suits. You, of course, if you pull back from the kayfabe landscape, I do just think like, wow, you guys work together beautifully to create a scene. Absolute chaos.
Yeah. The and fact that they also had they had bats that they had wrapped in white tape, mm-hmm. so the bats perfectly matched their suits.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you can't say the Young Bucks don't know what they're doing.
Oh my God, yeah. You certainly cannot. So
they had a little promo on Twitter afterwards where they were like so upset that Sting and Darby made them had to do that, which I thought was such a genius.
The delivery in this promo. No, you go, Leah.
Sting, I hope you feel better. Darby, yeah. Matt, I hope you feel better.
Matt Jackson, you are the goat. You are the goat forever.
You did are get blood the all guy. Over my suit.
The pause, and then it's like you could see, it's like this man was like, I could get an Emmy for this. And it's like, yeah, I mean, as much as Damon Salvatore could, and he couldn't, but like, he's just being like, I'm so, like, what did he say? Feel better, Sting. Feel better, Darby. But then it was a pause, and you could like, see his face change as he looked down and then looked back and goes, well, you did get that blood on my, got blood on my suit though. It was just like, oh, you're evil. You're the bad boss. You are a bad boss.
And being so upset about it. And then like Nick being like, but the EVPs have to make tough decisions. It was like
tough decisions.
Every CEO on a call about layoffs being like, oh my God, hard for me to decide to do this. I'm, you know, I've had such a terrible time this week. You know, it's like, oh yeah.
Nick saying that suit was $5,000. You fucking
I know.
Got that suit at Party suit City.
that was also such a Joe Bluth line, you know, where, oh, the guy in the $3,000 suit. Yeah.
I don't want to repeat myself, but I just think like that the stuff that they've done with these characters is so good. Like, it just like wasn't quite what I was expecting when they started doing the gimmick, but it's so much better, which then makes me so cheerfully be like, wow, they're so much better at understanding wrestling than me. They are really good at what they do. Who knew?
I know. I think,
but just like way that they have been playing that, like, oh, I hate that. Oh, I wish that. I feel gutted. I wish that hadn't had to happen.
Yeah.
It's like that, just the,
yeah.
Oh, it was perfect.
It's nice to, for once, not want to nitpick someone's character work. You know?
I just feel like, I know.
Wow.
I was briefly nervous that very, very first promo where they like were like their tones were like a little bit more like high key and like finally were unsilenced, and it was like, yeah, you deserve to be. I'm a little worried. Yeah. I don't know how, where this is going. And then for them to move into this instead has been exactly what needed to happen. It's just so fun to watch. It's so enjoyable.
And I have to say that as a super fan, it's really nice for other people to be enjoying it too. And I just think you guys deserve for other people to be having a good time. I'm having a good time. It's like, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to take a nap now. Well, we got him back out there.
I know. It feels like the two reactions that I've seen have been the Young Bucks are fucking killing it. And I knew that they were always like this.
Wrestling is also counts as the Young Bucks so are fucking killing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's what that means.
really great. Oh, and they had the blood all over the suits, and then everyone, Rampage will have come out by the time this comes out. So we do know from some like footage from after the show that then they're wrestling on Rampage, and that they go out in the suits with the blood all over them, which is so good.
Now, did we all get spoiled? Did you guys watch
I
did. I wasn't going to. I never do.
Yeah.
But I was like, I couldn't. I was like, I can't. I have to watch.
I had to.
Oh, and then, oh, I couldn't.
No, we haven't seen a really good version of it, but no, you guys have any impressions you want to share?
I love how succession-y it is.
Yes.
That's a good place for them to be.
Yeah. Yes, I think that, you know, and drawing from outside the wrestling world at all, we'll always praise it. We will always praise it. Yes. I mean, not that I'm not convinced that those men have watched Succession, but definitely those are the vibes we're getting. So, great. Oh, I do briefly want to talk about how incredibly funny it was. There was some crowd footage from the show of Tony coming out after the beatdown and getting down on his hands and knees to be like, oh, Sting, are you okay? And he's kind of checking him, and then he drapes himself over Sting, gives him a big hug on the floor before he gets up. And I cannot stop thinking about Tony just being like, this is my big old dog Sting. Oh, he's so tired. So I get down on the floor to give him a big hug. And then also in the world of kayfabe, how funny it is for him to be like, oh my God, Sting, are you okay? Oh, that's so horrible. I can't believe my EVPs did that to you. Anyway, I give him a match on Rampage. So they're going to be wrestling in about an hour.
I know that we're years away from Tony being able to make this joke, but I want so bad for RJ City to like do an interview where he's like, and why did you let the EVPs go out there and do that to Sting? And Tony would be like, I was afraid for my life.
What was I supposed to do? I know.
Extremely violent people.
Can't do it yet, but it would be funny. I can't wait to watch Rampage tomorrow night.
When's the last time that we've been like anticipating Rampage?
Feral for Rampage? Not recently.
Young Bucks and like a best friends trio too. It's like,
oh my God. Yeah. Well, we're about to get into that, and that I feel a little worried about that actually, but we'll get into that in one mere moment after I ask if there's anything else you want to say about the Young Bucks or the tag team division.
Cuties.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. I mean, just, you know, still Nick, the look's working for you. Matt, you look dishonest, and that's perfect. And it's perfect. And don't change a thing. You know, you're doing a great job.
I will say that Nick has looked very handsome. The beige suit was not really his best look. I'd like to see him in other things.
He needs a little color in it.
A little color. Yeah. Yeah.
Find out what colors work for him. It's not beige, but
no. I believe that the Jewel family is probably where he needs to live.
Okay, well, we can't wait to see what else our extremely violent people do in the weeks to come. Let's talk about best friends. Every week for the past 4 weeks, towards the end of the episode, it's like, well, we've got to have a little talk about
Well, it's like, no, this is us time. Like, we've done like a lot
I do
of
kind of smart
our choice. Work that, yeah. you know, we're proud of. This is for us.
Yeah. Mm. And it's like, I do kind of feel at this point, like, I'm just like, oh, and if you don't want to hear about this, you can just drop out.
You can
That's
just
okay.
Turn it off. Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes like,
they're
here.
On the best friends section. Yeah.
We get to the end and it's like us and Awfully Waffly. And we're like, yeah.
Let's get down to brass tacks. Okay.
Like everyone's like, they're just going to croon about Dustin for 15 minutes, but whatever.
He was looking really good. But this is our little parasocial segment. And it's okay to say, you know what? I want to say that on the record. Yeah. It's okay to be a little parasocial. It's important to know that that's what's going on.
Yeah. You just keep it in perspective. A little joke just about how irrational you are about, you know, certain wrestlers.
And I am about to be irrational because I'm so worried. Okay.
I know. You're really stressed. What? You are.
Well, OC, Greg, and Rocky had a backstage promo with Renee on Dynamite in which OC revealed that he is going to be fighting. We already knew this, but he said something about how he's going to be fighting Ishii on Collision. And Greg and Rocky had a weird reaction to it that no one on earth could possibly really understand what's going on. Like they were just like, oh, you're fighting Ishii? And he was just like, yeah, I think it's fine. And they were like,
Well, it's like, I guess Ishii is like in chaos, which they also are. So, but it was a weird moment. It was hard to know what you're supposed to take from it.
Well, that's the thing. That's what we were saying last week. Is this a baguette, like crumb leading us through the forest? Or is it an
Are we going to a garbage can or are we going to a secondary location? A real secondary, which in this case would be good. Or maybe not. It might or might not be good to go to a secondary location with these men. The question is whether they're trying to lead us to one.
I feel like I'm less stressed because I've given up on anything they say ever having any long-term meaning.
I think that's where Sarah was as well, because I tried to probe her where I was like, do you think like we're supposed to take anything away from this? And she was like, no, it's best friends. No.
That's good. Greg just looked so ominous that I was like, Greggy, are you okay? Like, I need to talk to you. And then, Renee asked for a medical update about Dustin. As I've said here, I'm IRL laughing as I type this. It's absolutely, like, it was so shocking that I was more nervous than pleased about it. Like, I was like, you ask what Chuck Taylor's medical condition is?
And you were right to be stressed,
right.
I was right to be nervous.
And they said, well, he's backstage and we're actually headed to check on him right now. Unfortunately, in a promo later on in the night, we saw Dustin getting beaten up by the United Kingdom, playing his classic role of damsel in distress, with Adam Cole watching and laughing from his wheelchair throne, kind of steepling his fingers, like, "Ah ha ha! I've got you now, Dustin." And and then they also played this video of OC and other people petting dogs and communing with cats. I guess that was it. That was interfacing with the, not interface. You know what I mean? That was another, you know, it's about another show. So don't worry about that. I think it was kind of an apology. Like is how I thought of it. It's like you had to watch Dustin get beat up so you can watch OC hug a dog on the floor like Tony Khan with Sting.
They didn't get there in time. They were going to check on Dustin, and by 15 minutes, they hadn't reached him, apparently.
They hadn't reached him. They didn't show up.
No, they didn't save him at all.
Last we saw, that man, he could have been getting taken to a secondary location. He could be in a basement. He could be in a basement. He could be in a torture dungeon.
Adam Cole has it in for river. Him specifically. Like in the promo last week, Adam Cole was picking on Dustin specifically and saying he was useless. What's that about?
Why are you so mean to Dustin?
Yeah.
He's just a little guy. He's just one of our little guys. So you guys are not worried at all. You're like cruising. You're feeling like, yeah.
I mean, but I could be extremely wrong.
No,
like,
yeah. Maybe. I mean, well, it's best friends are the boys who cried wolf, right? Like every single promo, there's like a moment where you're like, is this anything? And one of these times it is going to be something. And
right.
Like, right. You won't be looking. And then suddenly Greg and Rocky are in the tag team division as heels again, and then what happens to Dustin? We need to sit down all of his mothers together. What's the plan? Okay, what's the plan for this?
We can't just never see him again, which is what would happen if
we're going to need to see him
together. Yeah, we need to see him for our health.
He doesn't care about our health. I don't know. I'm just really worried. I'm like, yeah, if Dustin got fired, we'd never see him again.
This is really the segment of our podcast where I have made you guys come, like, take me to therapy, where I'm just like, I'm in your hands. I'm like, can't you fix this for me? I'm having change management issues where I'm so worried about the idea of best friends not loving each other. You can't fix that for me?
I mean, I'm worried about his, like, injury status, because, like, why would they bring him back if he's not ready to come back and then beat him up?
I think so he's wordless. I think he's... Yeah, I only I just remembered that today. The men are uneven.
So Wardlow gets hurt, and we have to suffer.
United Kingdom. It's two Roddy. Men.
United two men in United Kingdom.
Two men, United Adam Kingdom, Cole and Adam Cole. So was there only four men? Were there only three men beating up Dustin? Because it seemed like seven.
Yeah.
They were getting busy.
And Roddy. So Roddy, Matt Taven, Bennett, Adam Cole, and Wardlow.
But Wardlow wasn't there
meeting him up.
No, because he's hurt.
So it was only three men. That's why I'm saying they had the strength and the ferocity of seven to ten. It really felt like my child was getting assaulted by seven to ten men.
Yeah, so true.
And I didn't like it. But okay, so they have three men uninjured at this time, and then we have OC, and so we have four men on our team. So that someone has to be out.
And Rocky can't be out? Rocky doesn't even go here. It's ridiculous.
It does feel like Rocky could be out because he doesn't go here. But I guess
go back
Rocky
home,
doesn't
Rocky.
Feel that way.
Go to your,
Rocky is
go
just
to
like,
your own house, Rocky. You have a home.
Rocky has realized that if you just like hang around enough, like eventually someone will be like, I guess he gets a paycheck. I don't know. I guess he does go here.
Ambassador Roddy. Rocky, not Roddy.
Roddy,
I very
Rocky.
Much enjoyed. Somebody tweeted at us last night and was like, Tunnel Talk Pod isn't going to be happy about this. And I retweeted that. And James from ONR was like, you girls were the first person I thought of. And I laughed.
But you know what, James?
At our suffering, James.
I read that James. And I thought, thank you for thinking of us.
I know. It was so sweet. Loved it.
To be laughed at in our time of crisis, it's an honor, James.
It's an honor, yeah. But you guys are doing okay. I'm the only one. I'm suffering because I'm too worried. I'm too worried.
It's literally just I've gone limp. I've suffered before. They've had me suffer before too many times. And so I'm just like, well, I can't believe that this is going anywhere.
I guess
now.
I'm trying to process. I'm like, I need to get healthy like my friends. And
well, I mean,
I don't know
healthy.
That it's healthy.
The thing is, but I just don't want to disagree with you because you could be, this could be the cry
No, you're
wolf
not disagreeing.
Moment, but I do.
Me.
Well, I did. It's, I just haven't said it out loud that I don't think that.
She's about to wait for it. She's about to say something.
I don't think
anything's happening.
You're going to get berated.
My God.
Get ready to feel bad.
Jesus Christ. I do. I just haven't said it out loud. Someone clip that for us. Go ahead, Leah. Leah, disagree with me, please. I'm begging you to. I'm begging you
I didn't
to.
Think that Greg's response would... about fighting Ishii was that weird. I thought that he
think
was
it was
like,
weird.
I thought he was just being like, really? Is that happening? Like, I didn't
well,
think
why
it was
is
like,
it happening though? It's like, if it's not happening to drive tension between them, why is it happening?
Because OC is always fighting people for no reason.
why does OC fight anybody?
Did Greg fight Ishii recently? Is that crazy? Am I making that up?
Somebody fought Ishii, but I don't think it was Greg.
I'm over here trying to, I'm in GarageBand trying to Google Greg Ishii, which wouldn't bring up anything anyway, so why bother? Okay, well, you know what? We'll have some podcast marital difficulties we'll have to work out after the recording ends, but do you actually have anything that you want to say about the Camp Wars, or you want to kick it to next week?
Let's kick it to next week.
Kick it to next week. And you guys can wait to find out what Camp Wars means. You can guess. You'll probably, you know what? If you work at it, you'll probably be able to guess what the subject is going to be. Okay. So I think that's it. Did I miss anything that you really wanted to talk about?
I don't think so.
That was good.
Okay. Then I have been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get pod. Oh, I will interrupt this to say for new listeners, if you leave us a 5-star rating somewhere, you can send us a message or you can say in the review or whatever. You can tell us something that you want us to watch in the world of wrestling. It could be a match, could be a clip, could be an interview, whatever. And when we save up enough of them, we'll do a bonus pod and we watch them live.
This is coming up because we just got a very good one. We're excited.
And we got to build up a couple
more.
We need two more people to do it so
we can get an episode together.
If you leave us a 5-star review somewhere, let us know what you want us to watch. We'll watch it. Okay, there. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where we encourage you to check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. And as always, please come back next week. Please come back next week.
Good pod. Good pod.